Thank you for listening to the Second Funniest Podcast. You could reach us by phone at 408-228-4911, or you can send us an email to podcast@justincomedy.com. I'm going to be at Charlie Goodnight's in Raleigh, North Carolina with Mr. Heath Heitch December 3rd through December 6th. I'm going to be at Pepper Belly's in Fairfield, California again with Heath Heitch December 11th through December 13th. And that's all I have right now for December. Happy Hanukkah, everybody.
What? Here at the Second Funniest Podcast, we've decided to take things down a notch. I believe for the rest of the month, we will talk like this for the entire podcast. And up next, fishing news with your host, Fishing McGee. Hi, Kevin Miller here. You can check out churchinhollywood.com for our Christmas Eve service. 3 days before that is Kevin Miller's birthday, December 21st. He's listed on Amazon.com.
Don't forget to vote for us on Podcast Alley.
Oh, here's some more.
Ho, 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 happy Hanukkah.
Okay, bye.
No autofade. That's all manual. I don't mess around.
I'm impressed.
You did it in the same place.
I know, right? Am I good? I was trying to figure out.
Prove that that wasn't autofade.
Can't do that. You got me.
Yeah,
you got me.
Justin,
you got
Marshall,
me. Thank you, Kevin
star
Miller.
Star of the Second Funniest Podcast.
You're a star.
I'm a superstar.
That's right. We try to teach my kid to call you superstar
Mom,
instead
Dad,
of your name.
And superstar.
And superstar.
Well, I don't want to be Uncle Kevin.
That's right.
Or, you know, because that's always creepy when somebody in your family is called Uncle something and they're not really
your uncle.
It makes me think that, like, somebody's touching somebody.
I'm glad to hear you say that because there was a part, I feel that that is creepy. And there was a part of me that felt like you would want to be called Uncle Kevin.
No, I would rather be something else.
Something.
That's why I wanted to be Godfather.
Well, Kevin. I think it's funny that your less creepy option is to have him call you Superstar.
That's cool, because that's funny.
You know what? No, I think this is on me, because the reason I think it's creepy is because when you say the word Superstar, I think of the closing of Boogie Nights when Mark Wahlberg is pulling out his huge latex penis and saying, "You're a big star. You're a big shining star."
Yeah, I haven't seen that movie, and that's not what I'm referring to.
If I wasn't a creepy person, I guess I would think of the Molly Shannon Superstar movie from the character where she sniffed her, put her hands in her armpits and sniffed her fingers.
Oh, I see. I'd never seen that movie either. Probably for the same reason.
Well, they're on those grocery store doubleheader DVDs. You can get them.
There's a movie in a grocery store that features a Playtex penis?
Yeah, oh yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Man,
I hope they don't edit
really
that part out.
They change it. Some of the faces and names have been changed to protect the identity of the innocent.
What if the grocery store movies were like Be Kind, Rewind? That'd be awesome.
I think it'd go a little something like this. Best sketch segue we've ever done. Mm. If only this sketch didn't start with me identifying, we had just done a sketch segue. Wow, that was mind-blowing.
Whoa. not nearly as... Now I know why ours didn't turn into an hour-and-a-half-long film with Mos Def. Now I get
it. I'm pretty sure some writer on the SNL could stretch that out to an hour-and-a-half.
Oh, that's a dig, I think.
Yeah,
I think it might be...
There.
Has SNL gotten better?
I don't know.
I
only watch it when you're into it.
I thought you were saying, like... Because here's what I was going on. What was going on in my head was that I only watch when I know Justin Timberlake is going to be on, which I know sounds like a totally homoerotic answer.
But when is the only time you watch it?
When Justin Timberlake is on it.
So that's the only time I watch it. So it was actually C, all of the above.
Well, when you said when you're into it, like for some reason I was thinking Justin.
Oh,
and then
right.
When you said you're, I was like, me, I'm Justin. And then when you said into, I was on is what I heard. Like when you're on it, and I was like, well, that's
so
never.
You were actively replacing words I was saying as I was saying.
Yeah, there was a lot going on. None of it right.
What happens normally when I talk? What do you hear?
Have we I been love you too.
What has been? Oh, this explains a lot of conversations we've had.
This would be a 13-year miscommunication.
Here, I thought you wanted to borrow some money from me all this time.
That's why I thought you were here. I thought you never take the money I give you. That makes so much
this
more sense.
This explains why you keep handing me piles of grapes. Show up at my house at 2 o'clock in the morning.
Hold on. Your culture's monetary system is not with grapes? We should have had this conversation a long time ago.
Whose culture is set on money?
That's
grapes?
Why I was so interested in you. I was like, where does this guy come
all right,
from?
Well, we've had a good run.
That was great. Oh, it's not playing still. I was trying to turn it up. We had our music. I could hit a button. Our freaking QLab thing went wacko, and I tried to fix it for 20 minutes, and then it didn't work.
And that was the best 20 minutes. I've discovered so many things that my droid...
Oh, yes. I know you're dying to talk about it.
See, I did that. I know you now, have so much to talk about, and I'm going to talk about my droid.
No, I don't care.
I know you do.
I've
known you for 13 years.
All about grapes.
Is it 13
years? I can't believe you're
not. It's almost 13 years, isn't it?
97.
97. So that will be 13 this coming February.
Sure.
So,
yeah. I love it. I'm a big fan.
I'll look it up. Don't make me look up the day we first met.
I believe you will.
I've done
Kevin,
it before.
Kevin has his life cataloged.
Yes.
Much like he is president of the United States at some point.
Really?
I tried
to create trading cards, but nobody was buying them except me.
But trading cards of what? Of just
my
you?
My days.
Oh, your
you
days.
November 2nd, 1995. I'll trade you for 94.
It's all. Is it like pictures of you through grade school and stuff?
No,
or is,
it's just,
how
I
it?
Draw a picture of something that happened that day.
Symbolic.
I'm like, usually it's pictures of plants. This is a plant I saw today. Some...
Why the plants? Are you into plants?
No,
or they
just it's either easy.
They
to
cover
draw.
Most of the planet?
They're just, yeah, they're like, well, you just a stick with some lines on it. It's pretty easy.
Oh, to draw.
Yeah, you went
like I went with a house.
Yeah,
you went
yeah.
just for pure ease.
It was like, oh, why should I spend time on this?
Yeah.
I was like, did we ever talk about how I used to hate coloring with more than one crayon as a child?
No.
My grandmother thought there was something wrong with me because I would not, we'd give a color sheet and I would recognize that different things required different colors, but I would be too lazy to put the crayon down and grab a different color that I would honestly color the entire thing black. And my grandma would be like, you should change, like she made me feel guilty, like you need to change crayons and stop being such a bad person.
Oh my
so
gosh.
I'd be like, this is but I have the black one in my hand. But I have to change it to brown. By the way, I only colored
she would
black,
make,
brown, and gray.
She would make, this is, I heard this coming home today. We drove down from Northern California today, and I heard this on Adam Carolla's podcast where he was talking about the fact that people who are parents today are like, there's this huge pressure on being a parent. Mm. And he's like, just so you know, you're already better than everybody before you just by the fact that you know more than everybody before you. Like he goes, if anything, we're screwing up by trying too hard. Mm. You know what I mean?
He said,
we're trying to be the better parents than what we had. And it's already done just out of the box because you went through what they did to you.
But see, I think that there are exceptions to that because I think you can see generationally how people get to be better and better parents because you had good parenting and you take that and pass
it on. Oh, okay. Yes,
but I would see the other way. Like if you have jacked up, something happened when you were a kid, and then it just deteriorates and then you end up abusing your children and so on and so forth.
There's a part of me that feels, though, that I'm, because I feel like I know I have insecurity issues and all that stuff, but I feel like I'm better. I'm a stronger person because of the tough, you know, quote unquote love that my dad gave me that I don't give to Jacob. I don't tough love him.
That's what I'm saying.
I love him like a man should never love another man if he lives in the state of California. If you want to do that shit, you go to Iowa.
Why in the world? You always bring up Prop 8. Not always, but consistently. You are obsessed.
Maybe it's just my gay joke reference. Maybe I need a new one. Like I'm tired of Cher. If they would get a new
icon. It's not 1993 anymore.
All right, I'll go Adam Lambert. That's relevant enough.
I don't get it. references I don't understand.
American Idol. He was. I can't remember if him or that cook person was. Adam Lambert was a top two on American Idol.
I barely know the winners.
And he. Everybody kept asking him if he was gay, and you know he would say, "Listen, I'm not going to answer any questions like that. It's none of your business." Which is too many words for saying I'm a gay guy.
Yeah. Do they have? They probably have a publicist for the show that tells them what to say in interviews, and then when they win, they get a publicist, or when they're done with the show, they get their own publicist.
Yeah, I think the only part of from what I understand, the only part of the contract is that Simon has first crack at them. Because and he does.
Who is he passed on? That's what I'd like to know. You know what?
No, for the most part, there was something about. I wonder if it was that chick who won the Oscar. What was her name?
Oh, yeah. Jenna something.
Yeah, Jenna Hudson.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I think he might have passed on her or something. But the big one was this guy that won America's Got Talent, the ventriloquist singer. He, even though he won, Simon passed on him.
And he's everywhere right now.
And then immediately after he passed, because he's like, well, I think he's great. I think he's talented. But how do you make money off of a ventriloquist?
He's
there's
every
no money.
And he's everywhere.
And now he's got $1 million. Immediately after he was passed on, he got $1 million contract in Vegas. And Simon like openly was like, yeah, I screwed up on that one.
That seems so funny. It's like he didn't even understand his own machine. Like, I built this thing to be a giant ad for this man's career.
Exactly.
Why would you back that when it's done? It just hold on to him. Like, well, let him do whatever.
And here's the thing. Like, I got his hour special that he put out on DVD because Netflix recommended it to me, and Netflix done did me wrong. Because I have, I fast forwarded through that thing. Because here's what happens. The man can sing, right? But the thing that you saw him do on America's Got Talent where he sings, what songs does he sing? He sings some, I want to say elephant, some jazz standard or something like that in a woman's voice with a puppet, and it's amazing. Like, it sounds incredible. But then after that, he just sings. Like, and it's like, if you, and then he tries to tell jokes in between, but they're like vaudeville jokes, and so I'm like, meh, skip. Let's hear him sing a song. And then after doing that like three times, I'm like, really? You do this for an hour? It's like, here, I'm talking. Okay, let's bring out another puppet so I can.
When that was cool.
It's a puppet with a cowboy hat because I'm going to sing some Kenny Chesney. It's like.
The end.
Yeah.
I'm all over that.
Yeah.
Boring times. So to dial it back, I think we have stacked two stories.
Droid.
We are in old school mode. We're excited to be near each other.
You guys don't know this because we've been here every week.
Yeah.
On your iPods. But Kevin and I have been apart from each other for almost a month.
And now we're holding hands.
Now we
really are holding hands.
Wait, was I not supposed to? You put your hand out.
I know. It was.
You could have just said.
And now we're touching feet. Now we really are touching
feet. Your foot was this close to my ball sack, dude.
You need to move your feet closer to your protected zone. Anyway.
If we're going to touch feet, why do I want to put my feet closer to my zone?
Baby's in pajamas. Distracted them with a visual gag.
He's reaching for the mic.
You want to talk? No, I think you've been taking your father's parenting techniques and improved upon them.
Oh yeah?
Yeah, I would say so. Things like the thunking your kid on the head. I don't know. Are you going to do that?
Oh no, we're timeouts all the way.
Yeah, I see stuff like that. Although I do.
It was I had my first. I'm sorry, am I interrupting?
No, go ahead.
I had my first like kind of weird moment with my parents. It wasn't really weird. I mean, I get it, but my niece was she's great. With Jacob.
Michaela's
off
saxophone.
She's awesome. Like, she plays with him and she's so good with him. But it's funny, like, he almost has like a sibling type relationship with her in like concentrated form because after a while, he just, I guess, doesn't want her in his face.
And she's like,
and like, he'll be
baby,
fine.
Baby.
Yeah. And he'll be fine and he'll play with her and she talks to him and it's so cute because they do this like, ooh. And then he'll ooh when they eat and stuff and he loves her. But then he just gets this moment where he's like, enough of you, but he doesn't, like you know how brothers and sisters don't have a slow, like, I was going to say grade, that's not the right word.
No, that's right, grade. Grade,
like a hill on
there's
a
no,
highway.
No yeah, that's right. Yeah. It made sense with your hand motion.
Yeah, exactly, but
there's
they can't
no
see.
Transition is what you're saying.
Yeah.
There's no range.
It's all of a sudden, we're fine, now I want you to die. Like, you know what I mean? Like, and I didn't experience that
because my grandma was the same way. Stop coloring! I didn't even know you were in the room.
Stop it!
Get in the pool! Take a bath in the pool! I hated summers in my grandma's house.
You can't tell. It's not obvious at all. Doesn't read.
Right? It's funny. It's taken this long for it to come out.
I know, right? So anyway, he... Because I don't know what that is. I'm assuming that's what... Well, you had a brother, like, growing up.
I did?
Moving along.
Grandma! Grandma says, where's your brother?
I want him dead, too. You go kill your brother, then come here, and I'm going to kill you with this black crayon. Why am I a black woman? Is this why I'm angry about black crayons?
Yeah. You gotta be let go of our people, son. You need to pick up the white crayon.
When I said crayon, I turned for cage on.
Crayon. By the way, I grew up in New Orleans.
Oh, I picked up on that. I'm a psychic.
It was in the story.
I'm crossing
yes,
over.
I had a brother who loved to color and is a brilliant artist. And then he joined the army. Now he's in Korea. Or will be soon. He's so great. Everybody loves him.
Kevin.
Look, I have a lot of therapy to catch up on.
Kevin, focus.
People have been out of town. I haven't seen my therapist in a month. No.
Sound like me. Hold on. Are you channeling me now?
I was going to smash my car into a tree because it would make everything easier.
That's me, Kevin. You're still doing me.
I'm going to wrap it around the tree. But then I have a baby. And a wife.
Enter the baby.
Hey, baby.
But so I don't know if that's for all siblings where it's like everything's fine and then all of a sudden I want you to die now.
I always hated my brother. Are you describing a relationship where you enjoyed your brother at some point?
I was the little one, so I was, and I started off as an only 10 years.
Yeah.
So I started off as an only child and then became like kind of like a sibling. And then, she got her new Natalie's.
And it's pink.
Everybody got phones. Yeah, everybody has phones. All right, we'll finish this and then we'll talk about phones. But anyway, because I was so young, I wanted them to love me.
Yeah.
Now after going to therapy, I realized that that's really what I want anybody to do. Random strangers. The guy at the gas station, I'm like, just love me and give me my Monster low carb.
Take $455 if you would just love me.
Yeah,
please.
I would give it to you.
I'll give you $600. Please just love me. Here's $700. $2,400.
Hey, you know what's funny? I think that if it took paying people to get them to love me, that might break me.
Really?
Yeah, you might have topped my therapist in that little line.
And it's funny because
imagine if you have to pay them to get them to love you. I'd be it's done.
And you pay him to tell you that. Yeah. So,
oh, I don't like this at all. This is breaking everything I've built. So anyway, I wanted them to love me, and they were annoyed because they were teenagers. Except for my sister, she was super cool because
Isn't
she was
there just two of them.
Yeah, there's
so
my brother and my sister.
Your brother.
Yeah, that's true. I didn't think of that one. I mean, my brother's fine with me. Like, I recently had a conversation with somebody where I was talking about my brother and how it's interesting how attached he is to my son. Mm. Like, you know, he wants to spend time.
Your brother is.
Yeah, and I never thought. I realized recently that I spend so much of my life wanting people to pay attention to me, but also at the same time feeling that they have no interest in what I'm doing or I do this podcast because I have some desire to be heard and to be funny and all this stuff. But deep down, I'm like, I'm always surprised that people listen. Why would he, like, for instance, Darren Carter, we were working in Branson. Yes, we were working at Branson together, and I was there the week beforehand headlining. He was coming in the week after, and I was going to open for him that week. So while I was hanging out there, like, he knew I was kind of like bummed out because I was just going to be stuck away from my family for like 12 days. And
did you work on your CD?
Yes, I did. I finished it and everything. Oh, that reminds me. Yeah, but anyway.
Sorry, distracted.
No, that's okay.
What time do you want to go to the movie tomorrow? Let's talk about that now. What's the opposite of SIFTA?
Not SIFTA. No SIFTA.
I think that's French.
I was trying to think of what the opposite of sifting, and I said I was thinking clumping.
Oh, clumping. Okay, clumping.
Clump it.
Oh, that's good. It sounds like get it off the table.
Clump it.
Clump it.
But anyway, so while I'm there, he was texting me like, hey, I'm going to be at the airport at 4:50. Come and be, because I said I'd pick him up because I had a rental car and all that stuff. And then I go, I'll be there. And then he goes, and he said, how are things going? Also in that same text, I said, I'll be there. And then he, like, I was visiting some cousins on Natalie's side of the family that lived near there. So he kept calling me, like, they were sending me text messages. And he's like, are you okay? Like, what's going on? And I was like, well, he responded. So I knew that he had gotten my text message. And there was also something about his messages that seemed generic to me to where I was just like, why is he so bored?
Hello, Justin.
Yeah. It was basically the same thing going, hey, I'll see you tomorrow. How are things going? And hey, you doing okay?
Yeah.
And I'm like, why is he so bored that he keeps texting me? And then I get, and you have no internet at the condo where we're at in Branson. So I had to go to the lobby and check my email and then go back to the room.
The one computer?
No. It's wireless in the lobby, but it's like this huge, like, it's a golf course.
In India, we had one computer that ran on like Windows 97 in a lobby.
Which is superior, I've heard.
It was, it's Windows 7.
So that's where they peaked. That's what I've heard. Not. So anyway, I go and I get a Facebook message where he says, he goes, Natalie was talking and I couldn't hear a damn word she says.
They didn't either, so just push past it.
I know, but it's...
She's making
shut
a
your. She says they offer technical support. I don't even know what that means.
She's referring to Indian.
Shut your face! Don't make. See, that's where I'm going to ruin my son.
No, but see,
he's going to see me yell at her like that.
No.
And I'm hoping that in his little pea brain right now, where he's super obsessed with peaches, that he will realize she's asking for it.
I refer you back to the conversation where I was holding young infant Jacob and watching you two fight. And you were yelling at her and calling her all sorts of names. And
yes.
I said, this is your parenting model. Good luck finding a woman that will take the abuse that she does. To which you responded, there's plenty of them out there.
There are plenty. Ladies, if you don't like it, suck it and stop being that way. That's what I say. There's probably all of seven that listen to the show. And that's counting Virginia.
I was going
to
say.
Because Natalie doesn't. She listens to it when it's here from the other room and that's it. But anyway.
People listen to it.
So he's sending me all these text messages, and then I get a Facebook message from him going, dude, are you okay? What's going on? And then it was great because he said, please respond to me by text or email. Like, he didn't want to deal with a Facebook, which I'm on board with. I don't understand this new thing about sending messages on Facebook or MySpace. Let me explain, jackasses.
No one sends messages on MySpace.
People do to this dumbass.
Who are these people?
I don't want to name names because some of them are friends of mine by implication of the said social network device.
Uh-huh.
That was a lot.
I know. That was very political.
Thank you.
Ding.
So anyway, like, why? Just send an email. Just find my email.
Because it's easier. Dude, you have no idea. Yeah, I can't jump on this conversation. Let's move on.
Okay.
Yes, Facebook is great.
Boo. So anyway, he doesn't want me to respond back via Facebook. So then when I see him and I go, what was going on? He's like, well, I thought you were bummed out. Like, I was like, what's going on? Is he super depressed? Like, he was joking mostly, but he was like half afraid I was just going to drive off into the woods in my car, like kill myself. Cause he's like, I didn't know what was going on. And he goes, why would you not respond? And I go, because I didn't think that you were thinking about what I was doing. I thought you were doing what you were doing.
Yeah,
I go,
yeah.
I'm always under the assumption that people don't care what I'm doing.
Right.
They don't like my, I don't enter there into their
really?
Minds or whatever,
is
you know,
what Natalie, just say that into the microphone.
Oh
again.
My gosh.
She brings up a good point. You're talking about
because
yourself.
You don't care what they're doing.
Because
that's probably
why
there's moments where I'm like super cautious. Like I'll be walking down the street and I'll see somebody funky and I'll just pay attention and I'm not paranoid. I wouldn't consider myself like super uber paranoid.
Is this going to
connect
back
to what
we're talking about?
I'm aware of what's going on. It is.
Okay.
And I'm aware of what's going on, aware of other people. And then Justin's like, they don't want you that bad. Nobody's after you that bad. Mm-hmm. They don't care what you're doing. But who knows? Somebody might be caring and might be paying attention and could jump up behind me and steal my purse. So
what
I do
hell?
That with Justin.
You're talking about
it
friends.
Is all relevant. See? It's the same thing. At the end of the day, he doesn't think people care really about him because he doesn't really care that much
but
about other people.
There's a difference
people.
Between whether or not a stranger is going to take your purse.
No,
and
it's
he's talking
the
about
same
a friend
thing.
Caring about him. Those are two different things.
No.
Well, she's no. drawing it from her own personal experience. And I like this new approach that I'm taking of giving her enough rope to hang herself instead of trying to interrupt her. I'm kidding, dear. I love you. Don't
what
make me do
doing?
This on the podcast. It ruins the image of how much I hate you.
What? Is she throwing you attitude?
No, she just looked at me like, what? I was trying to help her.
I'm helping
she
you.
She looked like I had attacked her.
Really?
But yeah.
That's fascinating because I couldn't see the difference at all. You guys have really developed a love language. That's great. I thought we were still in play mode.
Yeah.
Shut up!
Whore!
Stupid person!
So anyway, Natalie's obsession... Natalie's obsession is that I think because I think there's this new thing and maybe it's this twiddling. Now I sound like a 65-year-old man. Twatting.
I twatted all over the place.
Grandpa, that's inappropriate.
Bah!
But Jacob's going to be our new studio audience. They can hear it. Yeah. The... Yeah, you can hear it.
I hope so.
So anyway,
and so it begins.
Well, all right, I'm going to just barrel through it. So just enjoy it, folks, hearing it over my speaking because it's just going to get worse because he knows I'm laughing and he sees his mom and Kevin laughing. But anyway.
Superstar. He calls me superstar.
This idea that everything, people are always caring. Everybody thinks everybody's out to steal something from them. Everybody wants to hurt them. And I've lived my life saying that 99.9% of what I do, nobody else cares about.
Yeah,
nobody cares about what I'm doing at any given moment.
That's fair enough.
You know what I mean? And I do this knowing that part of my occupation is to get people to care about what I'm thinking and what I'm saying. And you know what I mean? Like, so like, that's the fight that goes on in my own head, but because I,
but,
you,
But you see, there's a difference. I agree with all that. Most people are too focused on themselves, and even a lot of friends are often focused on themselves. But there's a difference between that and people actually caring. I sent you several messages while you were gone this past week. I got barely a word back from you.
Oh, really?
To be honest.
I don't even remember.
Exactly. I kept asking you how the editing was going, trying to chat with you over text.
I'm horrible.
Over chat. I left.
But you know,
Facebook.
You know that I love you a lot.
I know. I we're at a point in our relationship where we don't have to talk. I was just missing you.
Okay. Well, yeah, you could call and I would talk to you, although I had bad reception there.
I didn't want to call.
Which we got to get into that story.
Okay.
But anyway, I can't remember what got me onto this whole thing, but I think we're talking about parenting.
Yes.
And so my point is that I feel like people, because they're becoming overly concerned, are making people who are, this is going to almost come full circle.
Yes.
Because they're becoming overly concerned about their parenting, yes, they're going to create people who think that everybody is about them.
Yes.
Everything
yes
is about them.
Yes,
as
I love
it. And it's going to make us these huge
and
individuals.
This is so great because you know what?
What?
It's not biblical.
It's not
Yay!
Biblical?
Bringing it back to the Bible.
Oh, we have you said it's not biblical.
It's
I was
not.
Like, wait, this
we
isn't
two,
you.
Well, no. What you're describing, the way our current culture is set up, we have two things that God has told us to do. Love God, love each other, which means that's not on the list is take care of what your needs are and be interested in what is around you. It's take care of your friends first. Be more concerned about what your friends are doing and what your loved ones are doing and
really?
The random stranger.
That's a lot of work.
This is exactly. Exactly.
I don't think I have it in me.
Yeah.
I don't.
Yeah. It doesn't say be concerned about your possessions and what you're doing, which is what we focus on. We focus on the opposite. Instead of God, we focus on the stuff he created. Instead of each other, we focus on ourselves.
Yeah, but I got a really cool TV.
I know you do.
Right?
I come over here all the time. See, I made
HD,
it about me.
I got a new TiVo.
I know. I played your Xbox while you were gone.
You did? That's great. Wait, I had it with me. No. That's impossible. So now I'm done with that. I'm sorry if I'm shitting on your... You wrap it all up in a pretty little biblical package, and then I'm like, meh.
No, it was good, though.
Right,
I thought we were saying the same point.
Good, okay,
you think
good.
Are you saying that it's important that we should be talking about ourselves? Be more concerned with ourselves than what other people are doing?
I don't think I care. Like this.
I'm just asking.
I know. It's funny to me. I just realized that, honestly, I don't care enough about that.
This topic?
Not even the topic. It's just that, like, to me, I'm like, I don't even care enough to think about what I should be doing because I don't think I'm self-centered. I don't think that's fair to say about me. I'm helpful. I'm caring, you know. But at the same time, I don't spend any part of my day thinking about other than my wife and my child. I spend a good chunk of my day thinking, how can I make their lives better?
Yeah.
I do that.
That makes sense.
But I don't think about, I honestly don't. I mean, I have moments where something will remind me of you or something like that and other people
sweet.
That I know. And I'll be like, blah, blah.
I think
and more often than not, I have moments where I think of these people that are like, you know, ancillary friends on Facebook or MySpace. And then if the moment hits me well enough and I'm in front of my computer, I'll go, hey, what's up? Because they popped into my head.
Well, you know, I realized by watching your act during the DVD recording is that you and I don't spend enough adventure time together because all of your stories are about your family and your wife.
Yeah.
And like, all we do is sit around and talk about things that have already happened.
Life,
So I've decided we need to go on a boating trip.
Oh,
or
boy.
Maybe, I don't know, shoot deer. What do you want to do?
I don't care.
You have a son. So we can go to the zoo.
Wait, hold on.
Yes.
This is your plan. Your plan was that you and I need to have adventure time, and then now I have to come up with the adventure?
No. This is we're just brainstorming. I'll come up with activities, but you're not going to like them.
That's what I'm saying. I don't even want to come up with an activity. I like what I do. I'm very
come
simple.
I'm going to build a Tinker Toy set out of your toilet paper rolls. We're going to go to Legoland.
Oh, no. That costs too much money.
Natalie and I are going to go to Legoland, and you're going to talk about it in your act.
I love it. That I can do. You can come back and tell me stories. Speaking of stories, wait, do we want to talk about phones now?
Dude, I have the droid. Here's all that needs to happen.
You and Natalie can have a droid versus iPhone 5.
Well, no, I respect the iPhone because I got the new iPod Touch. I enjoy it very much. It's a very great thing. But I didn't want to go to AT&T because I think they have terrible customer service. Sorry. But
they have great customer service, horrible coverage.
Their coverage isn't great. They have a map for that. That's what Verizon
says.
So I got this droid. I spent a little more than I should have, but I'm really pleased with this purchase. Never been more pleased.
Can we know how much?
Well, I got a bunch of rebates and a bundle package at somewhere around $200 after everything's over.
Now he's got you beat.
For how much it cost?
Yep.
With after rebates and all this other stuff?
Yes.
How much did you spend?
Let's just say
iPhone?
The rebate. Hold on. The rebate that she got is more than what you paid for your entire phone. And we still dropped $500.
Oh, my gosh. What was on your iPhone? Why?
A massage.
There's an app.
No, it's about $400, and then you pay tax on the $800 price. Yeah. For the $799, I think, is, or $699 is the full price of the phone, and then it's, I think it's $299 or $399. You got a few accessories.
So I
got the eye care.
Okay, I want you to think.
Well, right now you're $400 ahead or $600 ahead.
I want you to think of a restaurant and a city. Think of a restaurant and a city, rather.
So, in a city?
Yeah, the restaurant and the city that it's in. Is this that hard?
A little bit. I don't know what I'm trying to test.
Think of a restaurant that you know.
Pizza Hut.
Okay, no, sure. And then a city that it would be in.
Bismarck.
Okay, now, really? No, some place you actually know that exists.
Oh, I have to know it.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, why do I need your phone to tell me someplace that I know exists? I want it to tell me someplace I don't know is there.
All right, fair enough. Let's try it. Okay, ready? You're going to say those
words. Why are you pointing at me?
You're going to say Pizza Hut, Bismarck, into the mic and the phone at the same time. Ready?
Pizza.
Say and. Wait, hard to do at this angle.
Pizza Hut, Bismarck.
That's all. Okay, it's working. It says working. It has found. You can't see it from here, but Pizza Hut is at 825 East Broadway Avenue in Bismarck. I can hit this button and call it. I can hit this button and get directions.
Wow. So it has voice recognized Google.
So let's go maps. I press this button and for free it will.
I feel like you're quoting what the guy told you.
No, this is
you
me
said,
discovering.
So let's go maps.
Let's go maps.
Let's go at this bullet point that they taught me in training.
So I hit go here. Diddly. I wish he'd showed it to me. And it's getting directions straight to it. From
you're
going to
drive from right where we are.
Yes.
And it's going to take you 1 day, 3 hours, 23 minutes in traffic. That's not regular, like, Nuvie.
No.
Garmin crap.
No.
It gives you traffic.
Can
you figure out how long it would take to walk there?
Yes, I can. That'd be funny.
Because it has that as an option.
Changing it to walk, go. Getting walking directions, no route found.
Oh, boo.
No, I can change the
Your phone sucks.
And see. I can change the layers and see.
My phone will tell me how to get to Bismarck walking. No, I'm not.
No. Here's the thing. I wish we had had this because when I had it for 10 minutes and we were trying to find the Village Idiot in Los Angeles and we're driving around and I'm like trying to find on the map using all these features and we got so lost we were about a half hour late to our lunch. And then when I found it, I could have just said the name of where we were going. I'm like, why didn't they show me that in the frickin' store?
No, they didn't.
No, I forbid everything
so
about
this.
Let's
go maps.
Let's go maps. That's the droid. That has a. Oh, and then it when it. It synced with my Facebook. It grabbed all of the context.
I know
on
you're
telling.
Yeah,
they didn't hear it. I'm
you're right. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to sound accusatory.
Did you forget the mics were in front of?
No, I didn't.
Hit stop.
I was letting.
We have to talk off air.
You know that I had heard it for some stupid reason. It was a bonehead move on my part because I wanted everybody listening to know I heard this
earlier. We have talked.
I'm done.
Okay, by the way, SIFTA means save it for the air. We didn't explain that earlier. So
I heard that.
Oh, gosh. You're turning into your wife. What does clump stand for then? Clump it.
Get it out of here.
Get it out of here.
I made that up.
All right. Well, now, you have many stories. Do we have voicemails?
No, emails? We have nothing.
Nothing?
As usual, our listeners are uninvolved.
Or unexistent.
Why are you moving my mic? How did that happen?
I don't want you to
hold on, wait for it. Wait for it. I'm off the air. Let's do this. Should have done this pre-show. But we didn't, and now that's what happens.
I just destroyed that.
That's how you don't
you
become the
recording?
First fun. Yeah, it's still recording. It just dangles. First funniest podcast is it's not doing crap like
there's
that.
There's no tech.
That's all on me. I created a bundle of cables right here.
It's my bad.
You shut your face hole.
Oh, I love you.
So I did my CD recording. That's when we last talked to each other. I went to Branson. I headlined for a week. Justin had a moment of...
Justin...
Warsham.
I know that guy.
Had a moment of...
Reading this? What's going on?
I don't know. I was staring at my laptop.
The page.
I like looking at... Maybe if that's a motivation, makes me sound like I'm reading it. I had a moment of ill-chosen words again.
Nice.
I did a show. Did a great week headlining at my first club week. Felt really good about it. Everything was going great. Obviously, Daddy doesn't have a huge draw as a headliner because this was his first week. But Sunday night, huh?
Or yes. Danny McGee.
I don't know who Danny McGee is, but
hey,
I wish...
Buzz, I'm Daddy McGee. You can call me Mix. What's up?
Oh, Daddy. I thought you said Danny McGee. Now I get your reference.
That's much better. That's a real person. I'm going to look him up on my drawer.
Dude, Adam, tell the story in the background. We're going to hear Danny McGee.
Danny McGee.
Bismarck.
Working. And little spirally thing. Okay. Debbie McGee. Oh, not pretty pictures of Debbie McGee. All right. Apologize to our listeners.
I wish you could see his face right now. This is red, but I'm mighty sweaty because I'm laughing too hard.
Oh my!
Oh, that was funny.
Debbie is
the arrogance of like, look at my badass phone. Yeah. Oh, Debbie McGee. There's no such thing as a Danny McGee. What's you got, Debbie? Oh gosh.
Oh my!
What did you search? What did you see on Debbie McGee?
It's just a girl doing things.
Can I see Debbie McGee? Is she still there? Probably. Did you turn it all off?
Yeah, I think I would. Here, you could hit the search button. It's not that bad. I just wasn't ready for it.
Oh, that's nothing. I was expecting like full twattage or something.
Oh, man.
This chick. No, this is, dude, this is nothing. This chick is like she's a wife of a senator or something.
Oh
even worse. She's like, welcome to the chinchilla chat line. Oh, fucking boring.
Why is she?
I'm telling you right now, if you're using your droid to find this podcast, Debbie McGee, you're a snooze fest. And look, that's a much better picture of her where she wasn't in a bra.
Oh, that's not bad.
And she's a total gilf.
What's gilf?
I mean, I'd bang her as long as she wouldn't talk about chinchillas for the whole time.
Second funniest podcast.
That's probably going to pull up something like Ricky Gervais or Smodcast.
More naked ladies.
Which really is annoying because we have secondfunniestpodcast.com.
Second funniest podcast on podcastalley.com.
That's us?
That's the number one. Some have described the show as second funniest. Let's see if it's us. I think it's the other one.
No, that's us.
Is it? Well, don't get too excited.
No, it's us. I know it's us. Okay. We're on Podcast Alley.
Uh-huh.
Maybe our listeners are actually involved and they're voting each month as they can. There's a link right on the website.
There it is. Chris Goodrum, Justin Morsham, Kevin Miller. Yeah.
Chris Goodrum. Oh, he gave us our tagline.
All right. We made it to the top of the droid,
which is the top of Google, motherfuckers. Guess we don't need you, listeners, so eat shit and die.
Yes. Suck it, Debbie McGee. too excited.
I kind of want to do a chinchilla chatting podcast, though. That'd be awesome.
Chinchilla pet chatting with Debbie McGee. I'm not
going
to interrupt you anymore. What are you talking about?
in my mind, I wanted to point out that the humor of me saying suck it is that the reason we're at the top of whatever Google on Podcast Alley is because people have gone and voted like we asked, and we do need the listeners. And not that I was really saying suck it, but then I'm like, could I suck the humor out of this anymore?
Man, are you sure we can't edit? Because
we should start.
Man, this would be great.
So we did a show Sunday for four people. The owner of the comedy club came to me and said, hey, why don't we do an abridged show? You know, just real quick. He goes, we're going to give these guys free tickets anyway. So I'm like, great. Because there was a guy who came in to audition, you know, and normally the owner.
When you do an abridged show, would you do material from your act that you would do later in the week?
Yes.
Oh, okay. So you're like, here's a sample plate.
Kind of. Well, the idea would be like in a traditional show setup, the host does 10 to 15, feature does 20 to 30, headliner does 45 to an hour. Okay.
For a total of?
For about an hour and a half to 2 hour long show or hour 45. You don't want it to go any longer than, in my opinion, a comedy show should not be longer than an hour and 45 minutes. At all. Like,
so at the
even
Rib Ticklers, hosted by Natalie Warsham, every show will be an hour and 45 minutes.
No longer than an hour and 45. Like, the key time is about an hour 30. That's where you want to shoot for, in my opinion.
The second funniest comedy house.
Exactly. So anyway, we do this show for four people. The guy who's auditioning, he, of course, does a full 15-minute set because he's doing great for these four people. Very funny guy. I wish to God I could pull his name right now, but I'm a jackass and I don't care enough about other people. So, he was a great guy and I met him. It's never matter. But anyway, David Beck was the feature who was opening for me that week and a very funny guy. He goes up and he does 30. And so I'm like, well, crap. Now I've got to do 45 minutes. Mm-hmm. And they were a fun group of four people. that sounded sarcastic and it shouldn't have. Maybe I was doing a Freudian thing. I don't know.
Wow, you're so funny now that you're doing material where you don't even mean to
I really didn't
material.
Mean that to be funny.
You have hit the next level.
I've achieved it. I'm the Buddha.
Before people.
They were.
That was good.
So I'm doing great. Like, I was afraid that I was like, oh, man.
How do you measure for it? Because we've done comedy sports. If we had four people in the audience, we'd cancel the show.
Oh, yeah.
How can you do a show for four people?
Well, the problem is in comedy sports, the rule was if there are more players than people in the audience, we only had three comics.
Yeah, but if you have four acts, oh, you had three acts.
Yeah.
Not with an MC?
We had three comics, right. And then four people were in the crowd.
Had you three people, would you cancel the show?
I don't have that power.
Do you think they would have?
I would have wished they would have canceled it then. And
four people.
Here's why.
What's the point? Is it all? Were they from one table or were they?
There were two separate tables. Two of them were comps, by the way, which was like, so really we're doing a show for two people, but they were drinking. But anyway, so I go to, I'm doing great. I'm doing so, and I'm very happy with the way things are going because at first I'm not a set up punch type person. And so I was a little concerned that I would be able to do a headline worthy show because you want it to build in, you know, level. Yeah. excuse me. And these guys were like pros, David Beck and the other guy who I can't remember, probably because
so
he's black. No, I'm kidding.
You hate gays and blacks, or you like gays and hate blacks. Maybe that's what you're saying.
I wouldn't say I hate everybody, but I would probably hate a gay black person.
Here it comes. Yep.
This is stupid. I was like, everybody knows I'm kidding, right? I wanted to ask you, like, they can't hear. I'm jackass right now.
No, they know you're kidding.
So the, anyway.
Sexist.
Finally, at last. So I go into the show. Everything's going great. 30 minutes in, this lady who was yelling it at the feature, too, she just starts yelling at me now. Bullshit. Mm. Bullshit to every joke I say.
Again, there's four people?
Yes. Now, they can't come and talk to her because she represents 25% of the audience. So if they come and talk to her...
Hey, stop. There's only four of us in the room. Can you stop talking to me like that?
Well, the club, I mean. The club manager...
Oh, no, the comedian on stage?
I did.
Okay.
I did. I said, at one point, I go, really, why do you think it's bullshit? I go, you're yelling at me. And I go, I'm trying to just do my show. I go, it's not bad enough that I'm performing in front of four people in Branson, Missouri. Now I have to deal with a heckler on top of that. And really, it's weird because that heckler represents 40 or 25% of the audience. And... So then she's like, I just think what you're saying is bullshit. And I just finished the sandwich bit. I just did the sandwich bit that we've talked about multiple times. I don't know, because she's stupid.
Oh, man.
And I guess what she's saying is that I don't really know everything my wife would like on her sandwich or whatever, you know? So
sure you would.
I have a moment.
Like if you said, I know everything my wife's going to think before she thinks.
Yes.
Yeah, that's hyperbole.
Yes.
You can certainly know what your wife will want on her sandwich. That's not unusual.
So I said, you know what I'll do? Because I'm trying to think of a way I could shut her up. And I'm like, there's only four of us. The show's going outstanding.
This is where it comes in.
We haven't talked. So I call Natalie on my phone and put it on speaker, put the speaker up to the mic, and she gets on the phone and I say, Natalie, I'm performing in front of four people in Branson, Missouri, and this woman is saying that everything I'm saying is bullshit. Can you just verify?
You could care less.
Oh, yeah.
You could sit on the phone.
Well, I'd done a ton of crowd work and riffing with these people, so I'd done barely any material in the first 30 minutes of the show. So I call her and I say, can you just verify to this woman that what I am saying is true? That I know what you like on my sandwich, on your sandwich, but you have no idea what I like on mine.
Yeah.
Natalie goes with, again, defending her, the funnier choice is to say, well, if you didn't change your mind every week, then maybe I could figure it out.
And they can hear that over the
microphone? They can hear that over the telephone.
They can hear her over the cell phone.
Yes, so they all go, whoa, and they all start making all this noise and ruckus.
All four of them.
All four of them. And I was like, oh, and then I tried to make a bit out of it, and I get off, I take the phone away from the mic, but I still let them hear me talk on the phone, and I go, why would you do this to me? Why would you say, I'm trying to call you. I told you I'm performing in
front
of four.
Did you turn your back on the audience?
Yes.
Still keep
I'm tucked away up against the brick wall, like facing, going, what the hell are you doing? Like, but not hunched down. Like, I'm in full body language. Like, I'm angry and blah, blah. And then, and Natalie gets on the phone and she says, and she goes, and I go, and she's just laughing on the other line or whatever. I go, no, can you seriously? And then I go, okay, seriously, all bits aside, can you just tell her the truth that that's the joke is based in reality? And I put it up to the, and I still had it up again. She's like, well, again, you change your mind. And I was like, oh,
Natalie.
So I go, you know, and then I go, you know what? And I pretended to be angry at her. I'm like, and I go, F you, and I hung up on her.
Right, right. Pretended.
And then...
exercise that part of your soul.
Yeah. So then I hung up on her, and then they were like, they were laughing, and I go, you know what the worst part about this is? Mm. I said, is that I'm right, and I know my wife is thinking, oh, I'll help him. I'll do what's funny.
Yeah, yeah.
But
yeah.
She doesn't know how she's sending me up the river because you think everything I say is lying. Like,
this is so indicative to everything we've talked about, because you're rerouting everything to satisfy one person in a room of four people.
Exactly. So, in my defense, it is a quarter of the room.
Yeah, but there's still, it's four people.
No, but you're
concerned about being sent up the river by four people.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Now I get what you're saying.
Yeah.
You're right. Yes, you're absolutely right. I did get hung up on I was in a show mode.
Yeah, yeah.
And, like, so I was...
With
and that's,
four people. That's like an actor's nightmare I have, is doing an improv show for, like, one person. Seriously, I'll be like, and they hate it. Like, one person in the audience leaving, and I'm still doing a scene hoping that they'll come back. But you were doing it for real.
And what's funny is that that's the first time that I've had it put to where it didn't work out, because I've done shows for 8, 12, mm-hmm. Now 4 people.
I can understand 8.
4 is the lowest I've done.
Yeah. 12 I get.
So, but I've did a show once for, I think it was like 50 or 60 people in an improv, and that's like kind of a small room for an improv. And the headliner was opening for, which was Heath Heitch. He told the manager, he's like, see, this is why I bring Justin with me. He goes, because it doesn't matter if this room is packed or there's 40 people here. He performs like it's packed.
That's great.
And he goes, so it whips them into a frenzy by the time I get up there.
That should be in your packet. That's good.
My packet?
Yeah.
Oh, my press kit. Yeah. So anyway, I keep going. And then I go, the problem is that she sent me up the river because I know she thought it was funny and she has no idea how much she screwed me right now. And they're laughing. Everything's fine. And then I go, this is something you can't deny.
Okay.
And so I go into the bed bit where it's like, oh, the woman takes up the whole space of the bed, men, get little time. And everybody's laughing, everything. They're like, yeah, yeah. And they're nudging each other like they always do.
All four
of them. Having the time of their damn lives. Two of them more so because they've got in for free. So he goes, then she starts in again, like, no, this is bullshit.
About the bed?
Yeah, now she's saying everything. So now I have no credibility with this woman. So then I said, I'll tell you what. I go, I know somebody. I'll call Kevin Miller.
Wow.
I'm going to call my best friend, and he will back me up. I know it sounds screwed up because he's a guy, and he's my best friend, but I'm willing to go for anything. You guys, I'll call my best friend. Will it shut you up if he at least backs me up? And she's like, go ahead, call him. He'll probably tell the truth too, right?
So here it is, all these times that I'm like, I'm never in your act. You have adventure stories about your grandfather.
Yes.
But when push comes to shove, the man you call to save the day is me.
Kevin Miller.
And here's what I did.
So I call your cell phone and I put it up on the thing. And then so it's like ring, and it rings for a good chunk of time. And I'm like, shit, it's going to go to voicemail. Oh, no, it's going to go to voicemail. And I'm saying this for all these people. And then they're laughing or whatever. And then all of a sudden, it clicks, and I'm waiting for your, hello, you've reached Kevin Miller. Leave me a message. But instead, I hear, hello, like this girl say, hello. And then they were like, oh, because like, I guess they thought that I'd called some chick that was my, I don't know why don't they know. Were, they got all Jerry Springer because there were four of them and they were drunk.
See, what would make sense if you're like, I'm going to call my girlfriend and a boy picked up. Mm-hmm. Like, that's the kind of reaction
that's a human.
But that's doesn't, I'm going to call my best friend and a girl picks up.
Maybe.
Oh, wait.
Exactly. So then I realized that it was your lady friend. Yeah.
You could say her name.
Okay, good. I wasn't sure. Kat. It was Kat. Yeah. So she's being adorable and very friendly, and this is great because this means that our relationship has started off in a cool way where now we have a fun story about how her and I
met each other.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's gonna be
because
great.
She's going, hey, what's up, Justin? And she's trying to do bits with me, but I'm trying to talk to her, and there are people who are talking, and I'm like, hey, is Kevin there? And she's like, and I couldn't even remember. Like, there was some kind of bit that she was trying to do.
Yeah.
And then this is my favorite part. My favorite part, I go, is Kevin there? And then you kind of hear her go like that, and then you go, no, he knows you're funny. And so in my head, like, she's leaving, she's like, I don't think he thinks that I'm funny. I don't think he likes what I'm doing right now.
Pretty much exactly what was happening.
So then I hear you go, no, he knows you're funny. And I'm like, I think you're great, Kat. Like, I say it into the microphone in front of four people. And then I go, but I need Kevin's help real quick. And then she gets on the line and starts talking again. But I can't, there was something about the signal was cutting in and out, probably because I was in Branson and you were driving.
Yeah.
And then I went, I just went, ah, fuck it. And I And then I think you called me back again in my pocket
several times.
Yeah. But then I just moved on and I leaned up against the wall. And I'm still okay. Like, I still think all this is very funny. Everything is light. Everything is going great. And I lean
half
up against
the
back.
Half of the audience is left.
I wish it was the left half.
Only four of them.
Yeah. Here's what happened. I lean up against the wall, and I'm like, oh, I go, look at me. I go, I was on Showtime. I'm headlining here. And I go, and all I keep thinking is that.
I work for Sprout Network.
Yeah. I go, the only draw I have is four people on a Sunday. I go, I'm a loser. I can't even. My wife thinks she's funny and just sent me up the river. I go, can't even get my best friend to get on the phone to back me up. I'm just all alone in Branson. I'm here for 2 weeks. This isn't even the end for me. I got to keep staying in this hellhole forever. And they're laughing. Everything's going great. And I go, this whole time, I'm just sitting here rambling, staring out the window. It's just because I'm trying to fight the urge to call this woman a cunt. And then they go, whoa! Yes.
I saw that coming.
Yes. So I go, and then she goes, they go, whoa, and they all laugh and everything. And I go, I'm just kidding. I'm totally kidding. She's like, no, it's fine. And then she goes, I go, I go back to my character of like staring out the window. I can't really say that because that'll lose 25% of the audience. And it was two couples, a man and a woman, The other chick goes, you'll lose 50 if you keep this going or whatever, you know? And she was half kidding, you know? Yeah, she's I go, oh, you don't like that word? She's like, no, I don't like that word. I'm like, well, and I look back and the chick who I said it to, was gone. And I saw her walking towards the back or whatever. And I go, whoa, are we okay? I said to her boyfriend, he's like, oh yeah, she's fine. She's going to the bathroom. I'm like, oh, okay. So I have some fun banter with the boyfriend. I go, okay, good. Because I didn't want to make her mad. Like, it was all in good fun. Because I thought we were kind of.
The one that was in the bathroom was the one you were
referring to. That I called the C word.
She was the one that was doing the heckling.
Yes, she was the one saying bullshit, right? So I said, I talked to him and I go, good. Cause we're kind of like play fighting. Like I know she's not mad at me, but I'm pretending to be mad at her. So we're good. He's
again,
like, oh
there
yeah.
There are four people in this room.
Yeah. Yeah. So I said, so then I talked to him. I'm talking to him like how to do meet, doing some more riffing with him. And I do some
really
jokes about it.
Half the audience with all that.
Exactly. Then she comes back as I was looking at the other couple. And then when I look back, she's already sitting in her seat. I go, hey, great. The cunt's back. And then they go, ah, ha, ha. Everybody laughs except for her.
Yeah. So right? Three out of the four.
So then she goes, exactly. she goes, and I go, and then I go, hey, I see you. Like she gives me a dirty look. And she goes, I don't think that's funny. And I said, so continuing with the joke, I go, oh, I'm sorry, honey. You're not supposed to think it's funny. When I say it to you, it's for the other three people in the room. Don't worry. I'll get to them. There'll be parts that they won't think is funny, but you'll think it's hilarious. She's like, I don't think any of this is funny.
Oh, no.
And I said, whoa. Or what happened? I thought, I go, I'm sorry. I go, honestly, I didn't
How old was this woman?
I would say early 40s, late 30s, somewhere around there. And she goes, and then I go, no, I'm sorry. I'm totally sorry. I'm just going to move on. Right. And so I start to move on.
Did
talk
you say
to
it like that?
Yeah.
Oh, you're so nice.
And so then she goes, while I'm trying to move on and do more of my material, she's sitting at the front again, four people. So half the crowd now is involved in a conversation because she's yelling at her boyfriend. Like, wait. Like I see her indicating with me at the thumb, but I can't really hear what she's saying.
Right.
So I'm like, you know what? I'm just going to ignore them. I'm going to talk to the other two people, but they keep looking out of their eyes over like the fight that's happening over there. Cause it's 2 feet from their faces. So then they said, I go, whoa, and I realize he's getting yelled at. I go, what? Because I heard her go, do you think this is funny? You think this is funny? And I go, whoa, hey, honey, it's okay. I said the bad word, not him. Don't yell at him. Don't yell at him. And then she didn't pick up on this, but I go, because if you do that, you're just going to make me right. And you don't want that.
Uh-oh.
And that made the other two laugh. Yeah.
Nice.
So that made the other two laugh. She's like, well, I just don't understand what this is. I go, again, I apologize. Well, your apology wasn't funny. And then I'm like, okay, she is very seriously misunderstanding what is happening. Yeah. I take the mic, I put it in the mic stand and put it away from my face.
Nice.
I said, this is no longer a part of the show. I'm serious as a heart attack right now. I don't think my apology needs to be funny. None of this is funny. I sincerely did not mean to offend you. Wow. Okay, that was not my intent. I go, I know now that it was a poor choice and I'm sorry again. I go, the reason I did it is because honestly, I just felt like, you were yelling bullshit at me. And so I thought we had I was pretending to be mad at you and you were pretending
what
to be mad.
The other two people
she's like, I wasn't even talking to you. I didn't do anything to you. They're just sitting there listening like uncomfortably.
Yeah.
And then I go, no, remember? Remember I was trying to do my, this is exactly how I said it. I'm not changing a single tone or anything. I go, no. Because I was confused. I go, no. Remember earlier, like you kept saying everything I said was bullshit. And she goes, no, that was the other guy. That was the other guy.
Oh, no.
And I went, no, no, that was him too. But remember, you said it to me. And then I had to call my wife. And then she sent me up the river and we all laughed. And then I was over here. And then that's how we got to this whole moment because I said
again,
the C word.
Off the mic.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. She goes, no, that was the other guy. That was, I haven't said anything to you and you're attacking me. Then it dawns on me. Oh, so no. I grab the mic out of the mic stand and go, all right, show back on, bitch.
Yeah.
Because you're drunk and you forgot when you went to go piss, you pissed out your short-term memory and came back and forgot, thought I was a new guy.
How is it that you are so, how is it that you can think of these things so fast, but it took you that long to see that she was that drunk?
Because she didn't look drunk the whole time until her logic was so screwed up.
Got it.
That it just was like, oh, that's anybody, the only explanation.
But I mean, anybody that's even yelling bullshit with a room full of four people, that didn't cue you.
It would be different if she was drunk, if the way, because people behave in an intoxicated way, because there's two factors going on. She's a lady who gets drunk and doesn't get tipsy and really slur her words too much, right? Or the way that she says bullshit, there isn't enough R's or L's to where...
Thank you for answering this question sincerely. You're really breaking it down.
Because it's not like she was going, bullshit. If she was going, bullshit, I'm like, all right, somebody put her next to the toilet bowl because whatever she had for lunch is coming up. And that's all I would do, and I just move on. But she was seriously going, bullshit. That's bullshit. Everything you're saying is bullshit. You know?
That doesn't sound drunk at all.
Yeah, and I was... And then I number two... Well, I mean, I do this all the time. I've seen drunk people.
I know. That's, I just don't understand how you missed that cue. I thought she was drunk when you first started saying she yelled bullshit.
I'm saying that maybe the number of drunk people I see on a week-to-week basis compared to the number of drunk you... I know, because to you, a drunk is a drunk. And what I'm saying is that there are...
That's true.
You could take a country of drunks, and they could be ethnically diverse in their own personalities.
Fair enough. You've definitely... Because we had one type of drunk at Comedy Sports.
Yes.
If they decided to heckle us back, we shut them down.
Yes. And you come to a family-oriented show to get drunk and heckle, you're a person.
Yeah, that's true.
Everybody comes to a comedy. All walks of life come to a comedy show. All kinds of drunks. You get the drunks who can't pay their bills. You get the drunks who are rich and feel entitled. And then you get the drunks who the worst, in my opinion. Although we had one in Branson that was a lot of fun. You get the drunks who bring a huge group of people, and they think that the show now needs to be about them.
Can you put this in your act? Like, this is fascinating.
Because
this funny.
Bill Cosby already broke down like different kinds of drunks. That's a premise that he mastered.
He talked about,
I think.
He had that whole DDT thing.
Yeah.
Anyway, so go on.
So anyway, now I'm like, I'm over it.
Yeah.
So, but then for whatever reason, in the me putting the mic stand away and everything, the other two people did not have my level of awareness of what just happened.
Right.
I still look like a jerk. Or I don't know if they're just uncomfortable because they don't like what she's doing, I go, okay, well, I would like to just move on if everybody's okay with that. And then they just kind of sit there. I go, or I can leave now. I would be more than happy.
This show sounds
to leave right now. And I said, and then they go,
meanwhile,
no.
Your pocket is going.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because I am calling you every 90 seconds.
I'm so focused on what's happening in front of me. I felt it the first time.
I
didn't feel a thing.
I believe you.
So then the other couple's like, no. I go, okay, here's what I'll do. We'll compromise. Because they didn't say anything. The other couple, the poor dude thought he was going to get lucky that night. Now he knows his chances are gone.
She's still pretty drunk. She'll go home.
I'm worried because I thought I just pissed somebody off with a club that is a new club that is trying to establish a foothold and all this stuff. You know what I mean? So there was all this stuff racing through my head. So I do my closer. Weirdly enough, about 30 seconds into my closer, she's laughing at me. She's back on board. She loves it. She's back in. Full committal. Like, just... Not fake. Like, I was like,
you're
lady.
You're a new comedian.
Yeah. She'd only gone to the bathroom again. Maybe she did in her chair.
Maybe.
So anyway, I finished the show. I go, thank you. The guy who's hosting comes up and he goes, hey, because the feature only had like 4 shirts left, right? I knew I wasn't going to sell anything.
Yeah.
So he goes, hey, do you have a CD and a DVD available, Justin? I go, and I laugh. I go, yes, I do. I'll tell you what. If you buy a T-shirt from David, I'll give you a free CD or DVD, your choice.
Wow.
And so they're like, oh, great. That's very generous. So, you know, blah, blah, blah. So then they leave. They don't look at me. They don't talk to me. They don't do anything.
All 4 of them.
Yeah. And then I immediately go outside.
shake hands with everybody.
No, I don't. I go outside. I call Natalie to explain to her what happened. And
I'm
because
still calling you.
I'm screwed up in the head. And I, even though it, I know in my heart that she didn't do anything wrong, I have to tell her, though, that for because I know the situation's never coming up again. But I just have to tell her how it kind of screwed me, even though I'm not blaming her. Like, I know that's right logic, and I apologize
because
and everything.
Because the honest truth is you want her to make the choice that she made. Because if she
in that situation, I wanted her to be on board with me because it would. I thought it would shut that woman up.
No, but in general, though, 999,999 times out of a million.
Yes, what she did was make the funnier choice.
You're going to want her to make the choice that she made. Of course, you are.
Yes,
and but you just need to work out.
And I knew. Here's the thing. I knew that that would be the funnier choice. That's why I was trying to emphasize. I'm doing a show for. I wasn't ready for it. I was trying to encode and married code. Tell her I'm doing a show for four people.
I wish
there's a woman here who keeps yelling bullshit and everything I'm saying, so I'm trying to tell her, explain to her that what I'm saying is true.
Yep.
So could you just please tell her? I like that's why I said it as plain as could be. Could you please just tell her that at what I'm saying is I do know everything you like on your sandwich and you have no idea. So now they go, yeah, it's true. And I was gonna hang up on my wife and go, that was my plan.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
So anyway, she leaves.
Yeah, she made the right choice.
Yes. She leaves, and they walk behind me while I'm talking to Nat. No, it's while I'm talking to you on the cell phone.
Oh,
they walk behind me, and you're like, "Are you okay? I felt like there was something wrong." And I go, "No, it's okay. I'll talk to you later. It's not. I just wanted because I got your voicemail. Like, I think you needed me for the show or something like that. Or So then I'm like, I got to call Kevin now because he's obviously out on a date. I hope that he's not sitting there going, oh, what did I do? I hope I didn't let Justin down while he's on his date. And I'm like, I just imagine you're, I don't know what date this is. I know it's early. You know what I mean? So I don't know if this is like, what if this is date number two and you're spending date number two talking about what the fuck I'm doing in Branson, Missouri. And I'm like, it's so insignificant. Don't worry about it. So that's why I called you to just say, hey, don't even worry about it. It's over. We'll talk about it on the podcast. Right. It'll be funny. Okay, you're like, okay, great. Sifta, bye.
Sifta.
So then they're hanging out behind me, right? And then I talk to the other couple and explain to them like my story. Because I was worried that I'd made them angry too.
Right,
other couple was like, I don't understand what her deal was. So I'm like, great. I'm clear. I'm good. Nothing I did wrong. Manager came up to me and goes, the waitress kid, she goes, she had four Long Island iced teas in 45 minutes.
Why do they serve that?
Because they need money.
But that's not legal.
Well, maybe it is in Branson.
You think?
I'm pretty sure. Pretty sure
Well, because I know if somebody leaves a bar and they are beyond the point of intoxication, like clearly an endangerment to themselves, the bar can be held responsible for getting them that drunk.
That's a California thing.
Is it really?
Yeah. Damn. I'm pretty sure. I mean, it might legality, like the legal aspect of it, you could probably, that sounds like to me like something that was established through precedence of some case, mm-hmm. a bullshit case in California or some, you know, uppity type state where it's like the business is responsible for me being a jackass. You know, that kind of thing. But in the South, it's like, listen, if you're a dipshit, that's thinning the gene pool, in our opinion. So good for you.
Somehow those are always the ones that breathe.
Exactly. So anyway, then what happens? I just want to tell this last part and then we can wrap up. But then I talk to them. They're like, they're cool. The manager explains to me how much she had drink. He's like, oh, no, she's blitzed, right?
Yeah.
They're staring off at the comedy club is like on a dock on this lake, right? Yeah. It used to be a river, but now there's a dam that they collect power from, so it's like blah blah blah. So they're just staring out and it looks like they're having this romantic moment, right? Cut to the next morning, I come back in the next night I come back for that singer-songwriter thing that they were doing, and then they the manager explains to me that she was sick. And I go, "Oh, she chummed the water?" He goes, "No, wish she had of, because she came and I guess they started to walk down the stairs." And she hurled all over the stairs. And then the people that owned the building there called him and he had to come in early and clean it up or whatever. And it felt bad because in the back of my head, I'm like, man, you probably shouldn't have served him that much booze.
Was it
worth the extra $12 you got from the long tea that made her purge?
It was probably $18.
So then here's the best part. This is just for the listener because I don't know. I think I told you that it happened.
Yeah.
But I got when I checked my second voicemail from you, what it was it was a butt dial that I had gotten from you.
Oh.
And it was a recorded conversation of the very thing that I was worried about because it was you and Kat going, well, I mean, he didn't sound like he was like.
Are you serious?
Yes. She's like, well, no, I think you're okay because it didn't sound like he was upset. You're like, no, I know it. I know he was okay, but I just know that he needed me for something in the show. It sounded like, and she was like, well, it did sound like there was a crowd of people. He's like, yeah, I know. I know because there's, there's no other reason why he would call me. There's no other reason why. She's like, oh my gosh, I'm so sorry. He goes, no, no, it's okay. He's okay. He's all right. He's fine. He's fine. He's totally fine. Everything's okay.
But, did you hear the how I ended up, which is what you're saying, that I...
Well, there was a point where it was like, it felt like there was like I didn't memorize, I just remember that part of the dialogue.
Man.
But then it felt like it wrapped up, and then for whatever reason, there was more crowd noise that happened at that point, and yeah. I couldn't hear what you guys were saying after that.
We went back inside. Yeah, that's awesome. Because here's what happened on the other side of the phone. It was probably our second day. Kat and I were going to a birthday party. We had the birthday girl in the back seat, and we're all rolling there together. And the phone rings, and I look down, and there's a very, very short list of people, and you're on it, that when they call, I pick up no matter what the circumstances are. And I look down, and I debated for a minute because I didn't have my earplug in. It was before the droid, so I didn't have my Bluetooth in. And I'm like, I'm looking at it, I'm like, okay, I can't. And I hand it to Kat, and I'm like, just pick up, and we'll figure it out, see what it needs. I thought maybe you needed directions or something.
Yeah.
And I could tell by the way I could hear your voice through the phone, I'm like, he's in a show.
Yeah.
I could figure it out through the time and everything. I'm like, I know he's in a show. So I'm reaching for the phone. I'm like, yeah, after you have your little bit dialogue, clearly you need me.
Yeah.
So I'm reaching for the phone. And the moment the phone is in my hand, as I'm plugging in my earpiece to talk to you, you're gone. I'm like, no.
Maybe that's what I thought was you cutting out, because I heard you say, no. Okay, hold on.
Me putting the earpiece in so that I could communicate with you. I was trying so desperately. And so the moment you're gone, I'm like, no. And then I'm dialing back. I probably called you I'm standing outside the club we were going into for the birthday party. I kept going checking. No, it was no big deal because there were plenty of people inside. And then, yes, that was the conversation later. I'm like, I didn't realize.
Because in my head, I imagine you guys sitting at like a two-seat table in the middle of a dining area, and you're like, you're over breadsticks, and it was like one of those like plaid picnic tables. Yeah, exactly. And you're hanging out, and she's like, well, it didn't sound like it was that big a deal. Now, in reality, you're standing outside of a place you're trying to get into, and you're like, well, man, let me just try and call him one more time. I don't know. And she's like, well, he didn't sound like it was that upset. You're like, yeah, but I know he was in a show. I just know it. I know that he needed me for something. Exactly. I don't know what he needed me for, but I know he needed me for something. I mean, it's not. And she's like, well, and then you're like, it's not a big deal. He just needed me to probably do some bit or do something. And
I was ready. Because the truth is.
And then you said, you also, I do remember this part. You go, and it's just that, you know, the one time he needs me, I just wasn't there, you know. And then she goes, well, it can't be that big. Well, no, it's like you said it's like a comedy brotherhood thing, and I'm in Branson, Missouri. Going, yeah, he's right. He's totally right. I mean, he didn't renege on any comedy brotherhood code. I mean, he was there, but
I've tried.
I get what he's saying, Kat. I get it.
I was trying. That's what I felt of, like, I had the opportunity to do a solid for him, and technology blew it. That I couldn't get to it. That's all I could feel like. Damn it. I could have been the hero. Because had you asked me, let's do it now. Ask me over the phone. Pick up your phone and call me in the show in Branson and ask the question you're going to ask me.
Right now, I would say, Kevin, there's a lady here in the front row. I'm performing in front of four people in Branson, Missouri.
Okay.
She thinks everything I'm saying is bullshit. Yeah. I told her that I know everything that Natalie likes on her sandwich. I called Natalie, and she says that I changed my mind. Can somebody just tell this woman that everything in my act, honestly, is based on reality in some way, shape, or form?
Absolutely. It's based in reality. You change your mind all the time. Hey-o! Thank you.
I probably would have thrown my phone into the lake.
And not have called that woman a C-word, and everybody would have been happier.
Would have been win-win, and then I would have followed by throwing myself into the lake is what would have happened.
In fairness, yes. I would have, of course, jumped on board and been like, do you know what else she does?
I don't know.
We were doing it. No, I would have known, because I would have been on board with you and said, we were recording a podcast.
No, I don't know. That would be pretty funny.
And she started banging on the window. That would have been pretty funny.
Yeah, it would have been pretty funny if both of you sent me up the river.
That probably would have put me
in a better state of mind to deal with this woman, where instead of just getting depressed and angry that I had to do a full 45. Because that was the issue. The other thing I don't know if I got into was that the second part of dealing with drunk people that I wasn't used to is that as a headliner, they're more drunk than when you're featuring.
Yeah.
They've had more drinks in them.
Which is the point.
Exactly. You know, so it's like by the time I got up there, even though these guys, and it's not like I'm not taking anything away from Unknown Black Guy and David Beck, because
the unknown black comedian. He's unknown black and comedian.
He was so funny too, and I wish I could remember. It's because of me. It's not, you know what I mean? Like, but anyway.
Yeah.
So is that they, because they did great, but it's like they were more drunk and I wasn't used to that. Mm-hmm. I wasn't used to more drunkenness and having to deal with more drunk, because by the time, if I'm up there and they're drunk, then by the time I'm done, they're almost out of there at that point. Yeah. You know what I mean? So that was the... And then, real quick, so that's that. I want to wrap up with one other thing, unless there's anything you needed to chime in with.
Trying to decide whether or not we should explain why I have a new girlfriend, but I think it's funny.
Yeah, exactly.
We're still friends.
It happens all the time. Don't worry about it.
Only because she's been on the show.
Yeah, exactly.
12 or something. But
I think it's implied.
Should we edit this out?
No, I don't think it's even worth that. Because it's not a big deal, right? Am I right?
It isn't now. Done.
All right.
Moving on.
So the other thing I want to say is that the Saturday after Thanksgiving, I didn't even get to go into that. I almost want to make this a two-parter.
Oh, man.
I don't know if it's worth it. Here's the thing. Natalie and I got food poisoning on Thanksgiving, so I think we lost weight over the holidays. I don't know. I haven't weighed myself yet, but I'm hoping.
I'll bring it in.
Now we're a morning show. I love this. So then on Thanksgiving on Saturday, I had the privilege to open for Angela Johnson at the San Jose Performing Arts Center.
That's a whole story.
There's all this other stuff that came with it that's more industry, and we're going to keep our fingers crossed for Justin for 2010. That's about all that needs to be said about that. But the real thing that I wanted to say is, and because it kind of has to deal with what we were talking about earlier too, is that this show, the people that came to see Angela Johnson at the San Jose Performing Arts Center on Saturday were incredible. It was the first time I performed my stand-up in that large of a venue, surrounded by that many super professional people. Like, she had handlers. There was security there. Wow. I almost couldn't get into the theater because they were like, we don't know if you're a stalker. Like, somebody needs to verify you are who you say you are.
Oh, wow.
There was a lot of, like, and... But the overall experience with her fans, and I'm just going to say this, and I hope I'm not speaking out of turn, is that I think, and that's all, really. I think Angela Johnson gets a lot of flack because she's a YouTube sensation. For those of you who don't know, she's the lady who did the Vietnamese nail lady bit, and it blew up on YouTube.
Yeah.
And I recently learned that about her story is that she blew up, and then she had to feature because in order to headline, you have to have like 45 minutes to an hour. In 6 months, she wrote the rest of her 45 minutes because she was featuring and filling, selling out comedy clubs that were there to see her, not even there to see the headliner.
Wow.
So for her to deal with the amount of pressure that I'm assuming she's had to deal with.
Like that without the proper support.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure she had support from her team, quote unquote. But not necessarily from most of the comedy community because, and it's kind of made me rethink my stance on the Dane Cooks and things like that, where it's like, I think that unnecessarily, and I don't want to be a part of it, and I never was in her case, because I saw her when I worked with her when she asked me to open for her, and it's funny.
Very
funny. She's been doing stand-up as long as I have, I found out, maybe a little bit longer, and she's headlining, doing theaters, and she has a huge fan following, and her fans love her. Mm-hmm. And she's appreciative of her fans and things like that.
And she's a funny female comedian.
Exactly. For me to walk out just to return her t-shirts to her merch stand and then get not mobbed, but just people were coming up, which I saw Jenny Guy, by the way. I don't know if she listens to the show, but she was a good friend of Teresa, who you guys know from the show. She didn't know I was going to be there. So when she heard them announce my name, she was like, oh my God! And so
she came to see
Angela Johnson. But I guess really what I'm making this too long, and I know that's kind of my MO, but her fans appreciated her so much were so kind to me. Okay. Like, they were coming up to me and they were taking pictures. One lady named Shannon came up to me and she goes, I want to write down your name because next time you come here, I'm going to look you up and I want to know next time you come here so I can come and see you. And it was just the first time that it had been in such a concentrated dose in front of my face. So, again, I know it sounds kind of cheesy, but I just wanted to take the time to thank the people who listen to the show, to thank the people who have purchased my CD, or even if you haven't, I don't care. Just the fact that you're here listening to this, I really, really appreciate it, and that I get it, and I know that I may sound unappreciative, and that's just because of my own bullshit, and I apologize, but deep down inside, below the mock jackassness, I really do, it touches me that people care about what I do. And it means a lot. So thank you for listening to the show. Thank you for the continued support.
Care about somebody outside yourself.
That's true. I do.
The Bible is accurate. Who would have thunk?
What's a cubit? But yeah, so I just wanted to say thank you to everybody.
We love you too, Justin Warsham.
Yay. Hey, I'm going to change a song. That's what I'm going
to
do.
To be fair, I've never listened to a single episode of the show.
That's all right. But you love me in other ways.
That's true.
Probably not biblical.
I don't even know how to respond.
Okay, bye.
I gotta go talk to Debbie McGee.
Okay, bye.
History in the making, part two. So crazy right now.
I look and stare so deep in your eyes. I touch on you more and more every time. When you leave, I'm begging you not to go. Call your name 2-3 times in a row. Such a funny thing for me to try to explain. My pride is the one to blame. Yeah, cause yeah. I know I don't understand just how your love can do it, no one else can. To my friends so quietly.
Who we think he is?
Look at what you did to me. Tennis shoes don't even need to buy a new dress. If you ain't there, ain't nobody else to impress. The way that you know what I thought I knew. It's the beat that my heart gets when I'm with you. But I still don't understand just how you love to do it, no one else.
Y'all know when the flow is loco. Young B in the ROC. Uh-oh, OG, big homie, the one and only. Stick bony, but the pockets are fat like Tony. Soprano, the rock handle like Ben X2. I shake bonies, man, you can't get next to. The genuine article, I do not sing, though. I sling, though, if anything, I bling, yo. Star like Ringo, war like the Greensboro Red. Crazy, bring your whole set. Crazy in the range, crazy in the range. They can't figure him out, they like, hey, is he insane? Yes, sir, I'm cut from a different cloth. My texture is the best firm chinchilla. I've been dealing with chain smokers. How do you think I got the name over? I've been realer, the game's over. Fall back young, ever since I made the change over to platinum. The game's been a rap one.
So crazy, baby.